Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 15, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. Really, if you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You know, you can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program, program archives, email address, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Now, when you get to prophecyhour.com, on the right-hand side is a link to all the archives and other things and some people's books. And there's several players there for the archives. But if you don't want the news and you just want the programs, period, go to messiahsbranch.com. That's a really cool-looking page we're working on. Try that out. You can also check out branch.podomatic.com. All these sites are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an app for Android on Google Play. And so I would challenge you to share these programs with at least two or three other people. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by U.S. Postal and email with your return address and or your phone number if you want me to call you back for prayer. But otherwise, these will be printed out, or when we get them in the mail, these requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you by your request only, and we will not use your address for any kind of mail order solicitation. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free, and we sell nothing. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is around the world in places like Bonn, Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. You know, I wonder, is that where Frankfurt's come from? Okay, I should. Oh, anyway, South Africa, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Paris, France, Westminster, London, Oslo, Norway, and, of course, many cities in the good old USA like Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, Chandler, Arizona, Tampa, Florida, Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans, L.A., Dallas, Texas, actually all over Texas, Plano, Texas, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they hit the podcast later on tonight. And remember, we're also on YouTube. In fact, we will have the link up later. ABR, American Voice Radio Live, is at YouTube, and you can listen live on YouTube if you want also. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, may this program glorify to you tonight and not us or the world. And I pray that Radio Night goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is back with us once again, and yes, it's time for Pastor Carl Gallup. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally. Travels around a lot, too. TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written, I think, his four books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, and his latest book is called When a Lion Roars. Now, we've got some things out of him about that before, but we'll get more to it as time goes on. But tonight, we're going to talk about something different, and we may end up back at the book. So I'll just quit talking. So let's welcome back Pastor Carl Gallup. So you're there with me, Carl.
Pastor Dan, I'm here, man. Thank you so much for having me back on. Man, I love you, my brother, and I love being with you and your tremendous audience, and I'm looking forward to this evening's discussion.
Well, amen. People love to have you on, Carl. I can tell by the, you know, when that podcast thing, when it goes from live radio to podcast,
yeah.
That podcast place that I pay for, they have a way of tracking statistics, and it shows me all over the world where where people are picking them up.
Yeah, well, cool. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Anyway, it's shocking to me, though. I'm going, wow, why is these people listening to me in China?
Yeah. Well, it's because you have some things to say, and God has anointed you, my brother. You have an awesome show. I hear people talking about it all the time.
Well, amen. Thank you. Anyway, well, everybody talks about Carl Gallup. Boy, you wouldn't believe the things I hear.
Yeah, see, that's not necessarily good, and I noticed that you said it that way, too.
I was pulling your string, brother. I was pulling your string.
Go ahead, anyway. Pull it, brother. It doesn't bother me anymore. I'm an old man.
Anyway, yeah, well, every time you say you're old, that makes me feel old, because I just turned 61 July 4th, so, you know, we're in it together, Carl. But, you know, hey, I took a physical, and everything's just right on it, you know, cholesterol, all that stuff. But, you know, I figured I better put my health out there, you know, because everybody's talking about health right now, you know what I mean? So they need to know that I'm going to be here for a while, that I'm physically able to do the job. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they do. So you need to go ahead. And by the way, go ahead and release your tax records too, bro.
Everything I have belongs to God. They'll have to talk to him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. You need to turn your emails over to the FBI as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I can
imagine.
They probably already have them.
That was kind of what I was thinking. I gave up our privacy a number of years ago.
In fact, they probably wrote a few of them for you in your name.
That would surprise me. Probably a few from you, too. After all, you know, you're the one that has the closest touch with the enemy candidate, so to speak.
Yeah, what you think? What do you think? And also the closest touch with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. They don't care much for him, either.
Yeah, you see, you're on their list, brother. You're on their list.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. I'm proud to be on that list.
Yeah, amen. Well, I guess we are going to talk about Trump tonight. I read a headline in WorldNet Daily here a few weeks back that said a rabbi was talking about Trump being the Messiah. I don't think that's quite what he meant, but what did he mean here?
Yeah.
What did he have to say about
it? Yeah. No, he made it quite clear that he didn't believe that Trump was the Messiah. But you know, being a messianic teacher and pastor yourself, and I know your audience knows this, and I know you know it, but so I don't want to come off as I'm lecturing anybody here, but you know, you get new listeners all the time, so I want to make sure that everybody knows this, that the Orthodox Jews, this is why Jesus warned them way back in the New Testament. He said, look, there are going to be many messiahs coming, many people calling themselves Messiah, and people are going to run after them, but you know, you'll know when the real Messiah gets here, because you know, but because the Orthodox Jews, the term Messiah, as you know, that's Hebrew, translated from English to Hebrew, and then in from Greek to English, we would call it the Christ. It means the anointed, or the anointed servant of God, or it has the connotation of being a type of Savior, or a Savior. And of course, the Messiah would be the anointed, the Savior, the effector of our salvation. So the Jews are always talking about Messiahs, and for those of us that are evangelical Christians, that's a little unnerving, because we reserve that name only for, you know, the ultimate Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. But so this Orthodox rabbi, he lives in New Jersey, his name is Mendel Kassin. He was teaching a lecture, and he said that he believed, and from watching the politics in America and his study of the scriptures, that he believed that Donald Trump was a Messiah figure, and or a Messiah-like figure. And then he went on to say that he believed that, you know, that God was appointing him to lead America. And it's interesting because what he said was is that he thought that God would use him to lead America back into a role of kind of being a helper of Israel again. And he said he also believed that Donald Trump would be a Messiah-like figure used by God to lead America as a rehabilitated biblical Esau. Now that was an interesting comparison because, you know, when I first read this, I mean, I kind of, you know how when you scoff under your breath, you know, you make that little noise like, ha, ha, ha. You know, I was reading this, and I thought, well, now, boy, he's really stretching that. And I still think he's stretching it a lot. But he went on into this lengthy diatribe of how America was really the Esau. We had become the nation represented as Esau in the last days, and that Esau was going to be rehabilitated and eventually wind up being a helper of Israel. Well, you know, we can talk about that all night, or, you know, whether or not that's a correct and contextual interpretation of scriptures. But, brother, when I read that, it intrigued me, and I thought, well, I wonder if other Jewish rabbis believe this, or is this just some kind of strange teaching? And I was not aware, but there's a huge movement in the Orthodox Jewish community, and you may know about this, that believes that America represents Esau in the last days, that we are Esau, and that we are eventually going to turn out to be a kind of a rehabilitated Esau, and we're going to come to the aid, you know, of Israel in the last days. So that's what the article was about. It was an interesting perspective, and I appreciated them asking me to comment on it, and I've got other remarks to make, but I've been talking too much right now. I'm sorry. But anyway, is that the article you were talking about? Good gracious, I hope
it
was.
That was the article I was talking about. The thing that kind of intrigued me about it is, you know, for one, news media is all negative about Trump.
Yeah.
But to see somebody talking positive and, you know, saying, well, you know, he would be good for America and good for the world. So in a sense, now, you know, we'll use this word Messiah, and folks, we're not talking about the anointed one. We're just talking about somebody to help the world, so to speak. Don't you think Trump would be, let's go with this. Even though Trump said he was running for the president of the United States, he wasn't running for the president of the world. But whatever he does here, won't that greatly affect the world?
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that the mainstream media is screaming, he's not president of the world. He's not president of the world. Well, first of all, we who are voting for him have never claimed that. I don't think Donald Trump has even come close to claiming that. But think of who they do support and did support, and think of what they proclaimed. Think of what Obama himself proclaims. Think of what the mainstream media, Newsweek magazine, after Obama was elected, ran an article calling him the Messiah. Within months after going in office, the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to him, and he hadn't done anything. I mean, he went on this worldwide apology tour for America, and he became known as the president of the world, if you will. I mean, it's just, the hypocrisy of this is just astounding. I think the leftists, the globalists, they are just terrified of Donald Trump and that he might come to that kind of power and use it for a more nationalistic, perhaps biblical, foundation being laid in America again. It's amazing to me. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. You did a video on this. Why do they hate Donald Trump? Why does the world hate him?
Yeah, I did. I forgot about that. I think that I
is that one of those old things, Carl?
No. Yeah, it's an old thing. I think I was just sitting here thinking, wasn't I also in a media article about that, maybe at WND?
Yes, you were.
Yeah, I remember that. What was the premise of that article?
Well, what was the premise of it? The premise of it was is that the world, the New World Order hates Trump because he will undo the New World Order.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
that's
not a global. Yeah. No, I remember. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that they are terrified of him for a lot of reasons, Pastor Dan. But the main one is that he could set this globalist agenda back by I don't know, a half a century. I mean, he could undo 50 years of what the globalists have managed to do through deceit and deception and intrigue and gosh knows what else. I mean, many people have accused them of murder outright, you know, mafia-like murders and all manner of espionage and spying on American citizens. All the things that the globalists have used and have been accused of and or have been outed. It could be if Donald Trump sticks to his motto of making America great again, and if he sticks to his promises of strengthening the American military again. See, Obama has decimated that, or is in the process of it. Strengthening our position in the world. Again, Obama has decimated that. Strengthening marriage, home, family. Strengthening our borders. Building a wall. Strengthening our border laws and immigration policy. Strengthening our economy and bringing corporations back to America. Strengthening the tax base by reducing the tax burden on the bulk of the middle class people, and on and on and on. Those are the exact opposites of the globalist agenda. I mean, if he goes in office and puts strict constitutionalist on the Supreme Court, as he has promised he would do, he has promised on his own Facebook page that if he becomes president, he will work to overthrow Roe v. Wade in his presidency. I mean, he literally said that on his Facebook page. I've copied and pasted it. I've got it somewhere on my computer, and several news sources ran articles about what he said. I mean, if he does these things and he makes his federal judgeship appointments and he appoints Supreme Court justices that are constitutionalists, and the next president, by the way, it could wind up appointing 3 or 4 Supreme Court justices within the first 4 years, and surely within the 8 years of tenure. We've got one vacancy now. There are 3 others that are quite elderly, and 2 of them have serious health problems. So, I mean, it could be that Donald Trump, or, pray to God not, Hillary Clinton, could wind up appointing 3 to 4 Supreme Court justices. I mean, that could change the tide of America for a century. And so if he is who he says he is, if he's a nationalist and an anti-globalist, that's why they hate him. That's why they fear him. Plus, he's good friends with Joe Arpaio, and Joe Arpaio holds the goods on Obama.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we could go like this, you know. First off, it's all over. I really believe, because of those judges, I believe that it's basically all over for America, as we know it anyway, if Hillary Clinton gets elected into office. Because I believe every vile thing that they want to bring forward, and if it eventually gets to the Supreme Court and it's those justices, they'll okay it. The globalists, they'll have their way. They're already taking America apart piece by piece, and Hillary will sell it all off. That's my opinion anyway, and if she hasn't already. But the other real good point is there won't even be a border. So, you know, it's just it's the last chance for the world, I think.
Yeah. No. Listen, I agree, brother. I agree completely. And that's why I wrote that article and made that video. And I mean, it goes on and on. They hate him because he is a very pro Second Amendment guy. Well, the left hates the First Amendment. The Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is what gives America its internal foundational strength. Humanly speaking. I mean, of course, it's the hand of God, but I mean, the ability for for its citizens, millions of us, to literally pick up arms at any moment and defend ourselves, if need be, against our own government, but also from foreign invaders or from people here with evil intent that want to gang up on us, like ISIS or whatever. I mean, you know, ISIS could wreak havoc on us if they started unloading on us tomorrow. But it would not be a cakewalk. It would not be like Iraq and other places in the Middle East where they just rolled through villages and started butchering people and people couldn't defend themselves. I don't think it would be quite that easy. And so you know, Trump and his whole family are big Second Amendment people and First Amendment people and on and on. Anyway, he's kind of the anti-globalist, or at least that's the way he's presenting himself. And I think that's why they despise him. They hate him. They fear him, Brother Dan.
Right. There's the key. I think they fear him, and they say it all the time. You know, they're extreme. That's why I can tell about one of the ways that I can tell the election is really going for Trump. I don't trust the news media. I don't trust their polls. But, you know, I see all these people that have came forward and endorsed him. But what's worse is I watch the people around the world that are complaining that they think he's about to get in office. And so when you see these folks worried, then you go, well, something's going on. I believe that he'll win by a landslide if the election isn't stolen by a crooked manner.
I agree. You and I are on the same page. And I'm telling you, look at who hates Donald Trump. I mean,
yeah.
ISIS hates Donald Trump. Okay? the globalists hate Donald Trump. The feminists hate Donald Trump. The radical homosexual agenda hates Donald Trump. The communists, the socialists, the radical liberals in the United States, the progressives, they hate Donald Trump. The Second Amendment haters hate Donald Trump. The First Amendment haters hate Donald Trump. The strict constitutionalist haters hate Donald Trump. Well, that's why I love Donald Trump.
All right, Carl, we got to go for a break. Tell them where your website's at, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Thanks. It's CarlGallops.com, if I haven't scared away all of your listeners. CarlGallops.com, brother.
Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that come from all over the city looking for food, clothing, over-the-counter medications. I mean, clothing for their children so they can go to school. These are the people that have suffered through this Obama's economy and have got part-time jobs and are really struggling to get their families taken care of. Well, folks, I need to ask you about something else tonight, though. We've had a problem come up. You know, we're not a rich ministry by any way, shape, or form. And, you know, we give rides to the poor from the north part of the city to the Wichita Mission Church. We use an old 92 Ford bus for this, and it's really rickety, and there's barely any heat in it, and there's definitely not any air. And until recently, the windows was even getting stuck up and down, but we did fix that. But it served the father very well, and the people, you know, they flocked to it. We have to make several different trips every day that we use the bus to get everybody down there and then to take them back where they need to go. Well, the bus broke down at the first of spring. We've been trying to fix it, but You know, we replaced most of the electrical parts, and we do know that that's what it is, the electrical part, but we've ran out of money trying to fix it. We got one last thing to try and praying that it will save the bus. We need $300 to do that. It's for a new computer for it. But if that doesn't work, we're going to have to replace the bus, and that's $3,000 to $4,000 to replace this mission bus. So pray about it for us. I'm not necessarily asking any one of you to replace the bus, and I'm not necessarily asking any one of you for the $300 or so for the computer. What I'm asking you for is for prayers, to pray for people or pray for the Father to fix it in His way, His time somehow, because we need this bus immediately. Now the weather is changing. People need these rides. We need to be able to give these rides. It's a huge part of our ministry. So pray about it, folks. And, you know, we are the last hope for so many. And people, please remember, you are all of us. We're responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You'd like our guests, you tune in, apparently. And radio isn't free. We don't sell anything. You know, the largest portion of our money goes into the Wichita Mission Church. You know, that's what we live our life around, is helping others. And so pray about airtime, because we don't sell anything, and it takes your airtime dollars to stay on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And now, if he hasn't ran away and hid, it's Pastor Carl Gallup is still here. You there?
Brother, I'm still here. I was afraid maybe you'd cut me off. I didn't know.
I wouldn't cut you off. You're too much fun.
Yeah.
I always have a lot of fun when you're on.
Thanks.
Anyway, I want to bring up something. Unless you want to go back into that, I wanted to ask you a question about something.
I want to do what you want to do, brother.
Okay. Right now I'm kind of negotiating. I haven't heard back from him yet today. I was talking with Zev over there in Israel about coming on and talking about the fall feast.
Yeah.
But I'm curious from you, how is the book in the Kedari revival going on?
How is what, brother? You broke up just a little bit. You asked me how is.
How is the Kedari, Rabbi Kedari book, and the revival going on with Zev? I said that Zev is supposed to be getting a hold of me, because he's going to be on probably in two weeks in a row to talk about the fall feast. But I'm just curious from your point of view how the book is doing and how his ministry is doing.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just say, brother, the book, brother, I've got some stuff to tell you. Now, when Zev comes on, he can tell you more of the man on the ground kind of stories. But I'm always getting updates from him and emails from him, and from time to time in his newsletters, he's talking about Jews that he's still leading to the Lord by showing them that movie that was produced from the book, or by going through the book with them, then from there to the scriptures, and from there to a witnessing conversation. And you know, it takes hours. You're not going to lead an Orthodox Jew, as you know, to Christ in just 10 or 15 minutes of conversation. I mean, it takes hours. But the book and the movie helps him to do that. And so there are still, I mean, it's still bursting forth, but get this, brother. So, I don't know if I'm at liberty to give the man's name. If I did, you and your audience, everybody would know him. But let me just say it without giving the man's name. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a very, very famous musician, world famous.
Okay.
And I've known him for a while. I've had the pleasure of knowing him personally. I've had the pleasure of being with him and his wife personally. He's an international music star. And he had occasion not too long ago to be in the presence of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Really?
This musician was in Israel. I think he might have had a concert over there, but he knows the people on Benjamin Netanyahu's staff, one of his chiefs of staff, and is good friends with him, and he got him an audience with Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, he was in there for about an hour, but this international music star who knows me, he sends me an email first, and he says, Carl, you're not going to believe what's happened. He said, while I was talking to Benjamin Netanyahu, he is telling me that he conducts Bible studies in his home. Now, there's just recently been media articles about that like Christian Post and places like that about Benjamin Netanyahu conducting Bible studies in his home. But he said, I took that and started talking to him about the rabbi who found Messiah, because this international music star has read my book. He has watched my movie. He's crazy about it. He tells people about it all the time, all over the world. So he starts talking to Benjamin Netanyahu about it. Now, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri and Benjamin Netanyahu were friends. And, of course, you've read the book, and you remember I have that in my book. And this music star, he pointed that out. He says, you're in this book. And he says, in your relationship with Kaduri, and he said, did you know that Kaduri wrote this note identifying Yeshua as Savior, as Messiah? And he said, I have heard about that. He said, I have. And he said, well, I've got it documented in this book. It's heavily researched. It's heavily documented. If I could get the book and the movie to you, would you read it? Would you watch the movie? Would you look at it? And Benjamin Netanyahu said, I would love to. So this guy contacted me and said, can you get me some copies of the books and the movies? And I said, no, because Pastor Dan didn't pay me for the last ones I sent him. So see, it's your fault that Benjamin Netanyahu won't get the... No, oh, brother, no. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You got me at the edge of my seat.
Do what?
I said, you have me at the edge of my microphone. Go ahead.
But I told him, of course I can. And so I sent him some books, I sent him some movies, and it so happened that one of Benjamin Netanyahu's chiefs of staff was staying in this music star's vacation home, and so he took it to him, and that guy has taken it now to Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, now has that book and the movie, and has promised this guy that I'm talking about that he will read the book and watch the movie. So let's see what happens, because if it moves him, and he starts taking that into his Bible studies, and he's the Prime Minister of Israel. Brother, can you imagine what might happen?
Wow. Brother, listen, I believe that we are definitely in the season for that, because I believe the time is getting closer. But that's just knocked me out of my chair. Amen.
Isn't that astounding? Isn't that exciting?
Oh, that's extremely exciting. So you better, for some of these folks, you better tell them what you're talking about. We've got a little bit of time. Tell them what you're talking about so they might want to grab a hold of the book and the DVD, because, you know, it's been a while since we've talked about it. You get new listeners all the time.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. No, you're right. I have written 5 books. My 5th one is coming out this fall, When the Lion Roars. All of them have been published by WND Books out of Washington, D.C. This 5th one that's coming out, we can talk about it a little bit more in your show if you'd like. The foreword is written by Joseph Farah, who's the president of WorldNet Daily and WND Books and known around the world, but he wrote the foreword to it. But 2 books ago, or 3 books ago, I wrote a book called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhak Kaduri. And that book went crazy, became an Amazon bestseller, and then an award-winning film producer, George Escobar, who happened at the time to be the vice president of WND Films, and Joseph Farah, they liked the book so much, they made a documentary movie about the book and its message. I'm in that movie. Jonathan Kahn is in the movie with me. And so it was, the book was turned into an hour-long documentary. And so the book and the movie now are still bestsellers on Amazon. They've been out for years. And it tells the story of this rabbi, the most venerated rabbi in Israel's modern history, When he died in 2006, he was 108 years old. He helped to put Benjamin Netanyahu in office and was friends with him. He was there when Israel, you know, was born in 1948. He was there long before Israel was born. I mean, this guy has known every Israeli leader, every Israeli general until 2006 when he passed away. When he died, there were 250,000 to 300,000 people that came to his funeral. They had to shut the streets of Jerusalem down for 2 days. It was amazing. The president of Israel gave the eulogy. That's how powerful this guy was. But the short story, now there's a lot to it, as you know, but the short story is, just before he died, he let his followers know in his synagogue and in his yeshiva, as your audience knows, that's like a seminary, the Jewish training school for Orthodox rabbis. He let them know that he had had a vision. He had met Messiah. He knew who the real Messiah was, and he knew his name. And he was going to write his name in a note to be posted on his website 1 year after his death. Now, when he gave that speech, he had no idea when he was going to die. But it so happens that 2 months later, he died. And he just caught pneumonia and went in the hospital and never recovered and died. And so a year later, they posted the note. And the note was written very cryptically. It was coded. First of all, that's the way he did it. He was a Kabbalist when he was in his orthodoxy, and that was a big part of, you know, that Jewish tradition of kind of writing cryptic messages. But he left this cryptic note, and it was on his website for months before some of his followers said, oh, my gosh, he's left us the instructions for how to decode it in his note. And so they decoded it, and it clearly said, the name of Messiah is Yeshua, Yehoshua. And then the people that managed his website, remember, this is the Billy Graham of the Jews, I mean, you know, in Israel. I mean, this guy's ministry was huge. And they took the note down. Then they started claiming it was a forgery. Well, you know, before it said that Jesus is Messiah, they didn't think it was a forgery, and they were proud of it, and they had it up on the website. And but it just rocked. It rocked the Orthodox Jewish world. And anyway, so they tried to destroy it. They did destroy the note. They tried to destroy all the evidence. They tried to cover the whole story up. The Jewish media refused to report on it. The American media refused to report on it, even though this guy was venerated as a famous, famous, famous rabbi. Even by the American media. But as soon as that note was opened, boy, they buried it. And so I reopened it. I did a massive investigation, put everything I could find on it and everything that was being said about it and all the evidence and all the witnesses in this book, documented it all. Zev Peratt was a big part of it. He's in the book. There are now 11 or 12 of Rabbi Kaduri's students who are born-again, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, completed Jews, Messianic Jews, because, and they'll tell you, it's because of the teaching the man was secretly doing in the yeshiva. So the Orthodox Jews, they have, a lot of them in Israel, I mean the staunch, hardcore Orthodox Jews, they have attacked me, they have attacked Zev Peratt, they've threatened him, they've threatened me, they've written nasty, ugly things about me. They've attacked the book because they thought they had it buried. And not only did I open it up with the book and it went to a bestseller around the world, but then they made a movie out of it. And it's gone all over the place. And Jews are coming to Christ in Israel. And it's gone into the underground church in China. There's 50 churches over there, I think that's the number, that have seen the movie and have heard the book taught and preached. It's just astounding. Anyway, that's kind of the short story. It's a lot more complex than that, as you know, but that's it. It's called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah.
Yeah, amen. And, folks, you can go back in our radio archives where we've got a lot of whole programs about this and some really interesting things as it came about. Your new book, we talked barely about it once. Tell them, the folks, about your new book.
Yeah, the new book is called When the Lion Roars, and I'm so excited about it. I can tell your audience to go to carlgallops.com. That's the landing page for all of my stuff, and you'll see the cover of it right there. It's huge. And just click on the cover, and it takes you right to the book's official website. Its official release date is October 25th, so that's just a few weeks away. a handful of weeks away. But it has already, I mean, look, Pat Boone has endorsed it, Jim Baker, Herman and Sharon, I mean, Dr. Lori Cardozo Moore and Zev Perrott and Joel Richardson. And I mean, I just go on down the list, Tom Horn and Mark Biltz, and they've all read it, and many more. They've all read it. They've endorsed it. Joseph Farah has written a foreword to it. People are going crazy over it. And it hasn't even been released yet. I know several really big Christian TV programs have already lined me up to do several shows on the book, the contents of it. And basically, it comes from the title comes from Amos chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, and verse 8 particularly, where the scripture says, "Look, when the lion roars." Who can help but prophesy? I mean, that, what that scripture says is when a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused this? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? And the premise of my book is, Brother Dan, the lion is roaring. We are living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And the lion of prophecy is roaring. And what I do is I just show since the return of Israel alone in 1948 to today, the book comes all the way up to today's news headlines. It is unfolding before our eyes from the return of Israel.
So you're using headlines to prove that prophecy is going on right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, from the return of Israel to the possession of Jerusalem by Israel to all the end-time technologies that the Bible speaks of, they're all in place. Russia is in Syria. China is in Syria. Russia, China, and Iran are in alliance with Persia and with each other. Turkey is becoming the Ottoman Empire, the center of the caliphate again. And Revelation says that Pergamum is where Satan has his throne in Turkey. I mean, the Bible talks about all the seven letters to the seven churches were in Turkey. The nations of Ezekiel 38 are aligning themselves. The United Nations is talking about marking every single person on the planet by 2030. That's just 13 years away. They're not talking about it. They've already hired two huge biometric tech companies who are bragging on their internet sites that by 13 years from now, they will have every man, woman, and child on the planet, quote, marked. Those are their words.
Really?
Yeah. For the sake of
my family. I guess that one got by me.
Yeah, no, I've got all that in my book. All of this globally pervasive tracking and spying and biometric transhumanism, animal-human hybrids, genetic engineering, all of that is in one way or the other in the scriptures. The Sodom and Gomorrah spirit, oh my gosh, the rise of ISIS, that's in the scriptures. The collapse of national borders, the Shemitah outpouring that we are experiencing right now. Orthodox Jews coming to Christ, Muslims coming to Christ, the Western Church in apostasy. Brother, I could go on and on and on. China is now slated to be the largest Christian nation in history within the next decade or so. I mean, I could go on and on and on. The book, outlines all of this, documents it all, goes, and it's very easy. There's 34 chapters, but they're only about 6 pages each. So it's a snappy read. The chapters are snappy. They come right out of the headlines, then they go right to the contextually interpreted scripture and just shows you that we are living. There have never been any more prophetic times on the face of the earth other than when Jesus was here.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of people, and I've seen it time and again, there will be a good people talk about a good book on prophecy, and then the normal man gets it, and they can't understand it. Is there any terms where normal man can listen or read?
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, everybody that reads it says that. This is not one of those academic seminary-level studies that you have to have a dictionary in one hand. And no, this is just in everyday language. Every chapter starts off with something right out of it. I mean, an actual headline article or news story or some poll or something. And then it goes right to the scriptures, and I show it very very quickly, very snappy, and very easy to understand language. This book is for everybody. This is a book that everybody everybody in every church ought to have and ought to read. Pastors will be preaching and teaching from it because it all is tied to the Word of God. And it makes the understanding of prophecy easy. You don't have to hold to a certain eschatology. I don't worry about rapture timing. I just say, look, here's what the Word of God said would happen in the last days. And here's what the mainstream leftist liberal media is recording every day, and they don't even realize the words they're using. For example, the New York Times, I've got this document, use the book, Christianity is being exterminated in the Middle East. Now, that's a New York Times article. They don't even realize they're speaking prophecy. They don't even realize it. They're speaking end times prophecy. Another headline, China is slated to become the largest nation, the largest Christian nation on the planet, as American Christianity dies. They don't even realize. They're speaking prophecy right out of the pages of the Bible. Another headline, Muslims are coming to Christ by the millions every year, some by claiming they're seeing dreams and visions of Jesus. These are mainstream leftist media headlines. I mean, I could go on and on. The technologies, the UN bragging about marking. And guess what? In their treatise, they say, we're going to mark them because we want to bring... Now, are you ready for this, Brother Dan? They literally say, by marking every man, woman, boy, and girl in the world, we will bring peace and safety to the world.
Really? I missed that one. I can't wait to read it in your book. I literally missed that one. I usually keep pretty good track of things, but it slipped by me.
Well, anyway, brother, it's all there. Yeah.
Carl, I've really been waiting for somebody, and with not having the time myself, I've really been waiting for somebody to write a book like this because, you know, that's what I do. I see the headlines, and then you know, after I see the headlines, I go, well, wow, that lines up with Scripture. That's happening now. And I try to get that point across to people that are listening on radio. But a book, now, that's another thing entirely. That's something we can put in their hands. So yeah. I really can't wait for this to come out. You said it was October what?
Well, October 25th is the official release date, but that when people jump on Amazon and order it, if they release it a little early, and usually they do a few days, they'll get it earlier. But I just, listen, brother, you're right. There's not another book on the market like this right now. And there may be later, and I'm not in competition with anybody. I want the world to know, you know. And the bottom line is this. The book is written easy. It's written snappy. It's right out of the headlines. It's for everybody to understand. Preachers, Christians in pews, people that have never studied prophecy, preachers that have never preached prophecy, will be able to pick up this book, go chapter by chapter, and say, oh, my gosh, this needs to be heard from the pulpit. And they'll be able to preach and teach right from it. And their people will get it because it doesn't go into all these fanciful interpretations of, you know, when the rapture is going to come and why, and here's my interpretation of this scripture that matches this scripture, and this teacher says this. It's not one of those kinds of books. It just simply says, look, can we not agree the Bible says that in the last days Israel will return? Well, here's the scriptures that say it. Boom. Here is when it happened. Can we not agree that Jerusalem has to be in control of the nation of the returned Israel? Boom. Here's when it happened. Here's what the Bible says it. Boom. Can we not agree that Ezekiel 38 says that this particular alignment of nations will come against a returned Israel in the last days? The Bible says that. Can we not agree that these nations are now aligning themselves? I mean, that's...
Well, I love it already, Carl.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we're out of time, but I do love it already. I like the way that you wrote it. I can't wait to read it, and I encourage everybody to... Pre-order it is what you really need to do, folks. Carl, though, we ran out of time, so thanks for being on with me. Tell them your website one more time, please.
My website is carlgallups.com, CARLGALLUPS, carlgallups.com.
Okay, keep up the good work, Carl, and we'll talk again. Be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. You too. God bless you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallups. He's a good preacher. And he is a good book writer and some other things, but check out his website, carlgallups.com. But, folks, really, one last time, I really want you to pray for our Wichita Mission Church. You know, pray for that we get the funds, Peter, for a new bus or to fix the bus that the old bus is fixable. I'm totally satisfied, would be satisfied with that. We need some money to work on it. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.